something, and I was doing a bunch of climbing up big old hills, and I thought I was doing pretty good. I was kind of proud of myself until I got home, and then I realized that I probably shouldn't have done some of what I did. It's good to be here, I tell you. I guess what I wanted to do before I sing, if you'll just hang in there with me, and I'll probably need a drummer here in a second, but I was thinking about the song I'm going to sing. Kind of, I want to give you a testimony first before, so I can preach when I get over here to preach, because it's been almost, it's just a few weeks, it'll be a year, and I tell you what, it was just, it's wonderful to come in here into a place where, you know, everybody loves you, and everybody hugging on you and stuff, so this is a great place to be, and I've missed you all too, but the song I want to sing tonight is called I'll Praise Before My Breakthrough. And there's times in your life where you feel like things is getting ready to take you down. Some of you may be in that right now. I remember how my life changed last February. Greg and I was preaching a funeral. And I was standing right here at the casket of Phyllis. And my phone started ringing. And most of y'all don't know the backside of this story, so I'll just tell you, because all of a sudden y'all just know when you come Sunday, I wasn't here. And it wasn't because I just tried to get rid of you all or just was ready to go. It's the Lord just, he had a plan that he was working, and I just wasn't aware of it. But I was standing there, and my dad knew I was in this funeral. And I looked down, I pulled my phone out real quick as we were shaking hands, and it was Dad. And I hit cancel and said, Dad, what are you doing? So I'm shaking a few more hands, and he calls again, and I look down and says, Dad, cancel. Put in my pocket. Do you not remember? I got a funeral today. He called a third time, and all of a sudden something hit me and said, that might be important. If your dad calls three times, you better answer. I'll just tell you that right now. And so I snuck off to this room over here on the side, and I said, Dad, I'm in a funeral. And he said, I know, son, I'm sorry. He says, but I need your help. I've fallen off my roof, and I'm hurt. So, boy, I tell you what, for the next couple of days, I was with Dad at UK, and I didn't get any sleep. I was pretty tired. And from the moment we got him in the ambulance, Dad had one concern on his heart, and you can imagine what that was. It was like, son, who's going to take care of my church? Because I knew he's hurt. He really should have been flown out. That's how bad he was. But who's going to take it? I was like, Dad, we'll get somebody to take care of it. Son, you know, they love it. No, Dad, we're going to get somebody to take care of it. I'm going to be with you. And I went to UK, and he kept talking about it. What are we going to do? And I just shut the door. I had no intentions of doing that. I was, you know, content where I was, and I didn't want that. And also, I was afraid of that load. I knew that load was big. And so I went up there and stayed 2 days. Long story short, Dad finally sent me home, and Dane made sure I got back safe, and I hadn't slept, and I went and laid down and took a two-hour nap. I wish I could remember. Maybe it's a good thing I don't. I don't know what God gave me in a dream. But when I woke up from that dream, sleep, I was shaking. And I was actually saying out loud the moment I opened my eyes, I got to call Mom and tell her to tell Dad, I'll take care of it. I was so terrified to wait one more second, afraid I wouldn't do it. I started dialing the phone and got Mom's, get answered Dad's cell phone and said, Mom, tell Dad not to worry about it. I'll take care of it. And that was temporary. I'll temporarily take care of it. But you know, it didn't take long before I realized, if you could back up and see, God started taking my mind as I got over there. And let me tell you something, for the next couple months, the load was so incredible, I honestly didn't think I was going to make it. It was taking care of Dad's surgical needs and going to Lexington and then taking care of him at home. And then that new burden and load, I felt like I was going to die. And I had many times say, God, you got to help me. And that's what he wants us to do, isn't it? You got to help me. I can't do it. And he knew I couldn't do it. But he started taking my mind back. And see, I didn't understand what was going on. For 9 months before I left here, God was doing something in me. And I couldn't understand it. I was like, God, why are you leaning my heart that way? Why are you having me prepare this way? Why is my desires going that way? Why am I, I knew that he wanted me to dig in deeper. And I'd been praying, God, I knew I really wouldn't do what I'm supposed to do. I mean, it's easy to just do enough to get by, right? But God wants us to give her all to him. And once I got over there, I realized God started pointing my mind back and says, remember that little thing? You said, why it was prepared you for this. And he kept nine different things without going through them all. Nine different things God said that was for this. And so he knew. See, God knows everything. God knows what tomorrow. Dad has surgery this week. We're tore up about that. We don't know how that's going to go. But God has a plan for everything. He's already in tomorrow. Before you took your first breath, he's already there. And so he said, you just got to trust me. And so we can trust. You know, I tell the church a lot about something you all also might not. The problem is I've been gone almost a year, so I got a lot to talk about, okay? So, but some of you all may not know that I was going through a thing about 2 years ago, and it was the biggest load. I had five different things hit me at the same time, five things. One of them, a doctor told me, it was when I was losing all that weight and so forth, and one of the doctors checking some things says, I just need to make sure you don't have pancreatic cancer. And he was checking me for some stuff, and I had every pain and everything in the world to back it up. So I was scared about that, and I had four other big things, including they thought my brother had cancer and all kinds of other stuff going on honestly, the devil was trying to destroy my mind during that period. I was going through the worst time you've ever seen. It was all I could do just to make it up here to sing. And I remember one night, and I can't even remember the man's name that was preaching a revival. Never had seen him before. But I remember it was Monday night, and it was like, God, I don't even know if I can make it tonight. I knew I needed to go, and I forced myself to go, but it wasn't because my heart was there. It's just I felt like I just needed to crawl in a hole somewhere. But I can't, and so I'm so glad I can't did, because during this period, in fact, my wife even sent me, she knew that I needed help, and she would send me scripture verses that would say, here's something, you know, she'd look up stuff to help me, you know, here I am, the preacher, and here she's trying to help me. But she sent me a verse, and it was the same one that God had put on my heart. And it was the verse that every time I would feel that overwhelming fear try to grip my heart, I would read that verse and quote it and say, God, your truths are so faithful. I trust you. I don't know how you're going to do all these things. Any one of them will destroy me, but God, you can do it. And I came in that night, and what was so amazing to me is that when he preached, his text was that exact verse. Well, that got me on the edge of my seat right there. Just my text tonight, and he said, is this? And I said, wow, that's awesome. That's what I'm going to need to hear. And he said, God's sent and gave me this message because someone in here is going through something. Well, boy, did that get my attention. And for the next 30 or 40 minutes, he told every single lie that was in my mind, every thought that the enemy, you know what the name of his title was? Move Forward by Faith. Do you know what that told me? I was sitting there and I was thinking, God, if you're speaking to me and you're saying move forward by faith, there's a tomorrow. So when that altar opened up that night, and for weeks I could find the spot, I came up here to this altar, and it was about right here, and I died. I cried so much and just died that it left a stain. Some of y'all cleaning me. I thought, what in the world is happening here? It was me. And there was times. And when I went home that night, because my wife wasn't here, I come through the door, and she came in the living room. She says, what happened to you? You ain't the same guy. I seen him a couple hours ago. What's the deal with you? And I said, let me tell you what the Lord did tonight. Now, listen, here's the thing about it. When I went home, I didn't get the news that everything was going to be okay. God worked through every one of those things. That's the wonderful thing. God was faithful. God came through completely. But I didn't have the answer. The answer was there. He didn't give me the good report yet. I still had to trust him. But there was a joy in my heart because I realized who I trusted. And if he took the time to tell me, I got it. There is a tomorrow. Have faith in me because there is a tomorrow. Then I could learn to. And so I went home and I had joy in my heart for the first time. And for the next 2 weeks, till I started getting the good news on every front, I would get fearful. And I still, by the way, I'm not gone completely because every morning almost I'm right here. I'm in here praying. And so I'd come in here in the morning, nobody's in here, and I'd come right up here and put my feet right on and say, devil, you're a liar. You're a liar right here. And I'd find my spot. And so I thank God that we can trust him even when we're going through things. And I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you're facing. But here, I can tell you this one thing about it. You can praise Him and have confidence in the middle of the storm because of who we trust, because of who we put our confidence in. He's never failed you yet, and He ain't going to fail you tomorrow or the next day or any one of us. He's faithful. Even when the storm is raging, He is faithful. Amen. But we'll see how it goes.
I will. Till my song becomes my triumph, O Lord, yes. I will sing because I trust you, Lord. I will bring my heart. I will live, oh Lord. I'll praise you, Lord, yes. I will praise before my breakthrough, Lord. Till my song becomes my triumph, yes. I will sing because I trust you. I will bring my heart. I will lift my song. I will bring my heart. I will lift my song. I'll sing because I trust you, Lord. Lord, I worship because I trust you. Oh, I sing because I love you. I will bring my heart. I will lift my song. I will bring my heart. I will lift my song. Oh, I'll bring my heart. I will lift my song. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You're a mighty God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, he's faithful. We can trust him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, mighty God. You're so worthy, God. Yes, you are. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise his holy name. Hallelujah. So it's so good to be here with you all tonight. I know it's a big thing when a pastor gives you his pulpit. And so I appreciate the Jarvises, and I hope they're having a wonderful time this weekend as their daughter and son-in-law is moved to head pastors of the church. And so I know that's something they didn't want to miss. Tonight, is it okay with you if I give you what I gave our church this morning? I told Greg I never do this, but I felt like I should. I felt all week the Lord just kind of said, just stay where you're at. And because it encourages me, I really wish we had the overheads. I think it's more effective, and we're going to pray that you get your projector fixed real quick. But, huh? It would be fixed. Amen. Yes. Yes, we would. So tonight we're going to look at a passage in Ephesians chapter 3. And we're going to look at verses 14 through 21. And we're going to look just for, Lord willing, just for a few minutes at the title, Let Your Roots Run Deep. Let your roots run deep. Ephesians chapter 3, 14 through 21. And if you could, as I have mine, I don't think we do this all the time, but if you could, I'm kind of gotten used to it. I have our people stand for the reading of the word. If you don't care and you've got that tonight, if you're able to stand, stand, and let's read the word of God and let's see what he has for us tonight. It says in verse 14, for this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family of heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able, we love this verse, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Let's pray.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, God, and we thank you that, Lord, you're encouraging us, God, that we have a relationship with you, that, God, we let our roots run deep, God, that there's a place in you, God, that you want to saturate us, God. There's a place in you, you want to give us victory. There's a place in you, God, that when the storm rages, that we can tap into such strength, Almighty God, that we, Lord, are not even changed. We're not even altered. Lord, we don't even have to worry about the circumstances because, Lord, we have got our roots run into the source of Jesus Christ. And God, you give us strength. God, that you would move tonight, that you would speak with your mighty word, that you would have what you want to do. And God, in this altar, God, you would draw us closer to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Let your roots run deep. Now, this is Paul. This is an epistle that was written in prison. And he's encouraging these new Christians to have the inner man strengthened. And he's just went through the verses before this talking about to tell you what he's talking about. He's saying that the Lord has given him the mystery, and he's revealed to him and to the apostles and to others this great mystery that was from the beginning of time. We just didn't know it. That God also desired to save the Gentiles, and God loved the Gentiles, and that he was going to pour out his spirit, and he was going to bring salvation to the Gentiles as well as to the Jew, and he's going to make one new body, that body of Christ. And he says, and he had given him the task to preach to the Gentiles. And so what he's doing here is he is encouraging these Gentiles, this church in Ephesus, to dig down deeper. You see, because, and we have to deal with the same thing today, because it is so easy for us to have a casual relationship with Christ. It's so easy for us to get saved and just let our roots just run close to the surface. From the top, it looks the same. From the top, we look the same, but our roots aren't very deep. And we notice it when we feel the effects is whenever the storm rages. We don't have the strength that we need. We don't have the nourishment we need. We don't have the ability to be able to withstand it. And so he's saying, listen, the most important thing you can have is you can let your roots run deep and get a hold of all that God has for you. And then you can be the vessel that God wants you to be. We don't need to let our roots be shallow. And we're going to look at a few things tonight that when you do that, when you listen to that, when you dig in and when you get all there is to know of God and you dig deeper, there's some blessings that comes along with it. First, we see in verse 16, that when we let our roots run deep, we tap into spiritual strength. He wants to give you spiritual strength. Do you ever need strength? You ever go through periods where you're saying, Lord, if you don't help me, I can't make it? He wants to give you strength, and that's how he does it. He says, he's talking, he says that he would grant, that word means give, you according to the riches of his glory. His riches are so abounding, so amazing. His presence and his power is so much greater than our minds can even wrap around. We sit around most of the time and settle for so little when God says, I've got so much. And we sit around and we're satisfied just to make it to the next day. And God says, if you can only see what I want to do in your life and I want to give you more than you can imagine, tap into my resources. My resources are limited, his is not. If you were to find out, I told my church today, I said, if you find out a few years from now and I pass away and you find out that I've left you something in my will, you may say, well, that's great. I'm glad he thought of me, but you may not be that excited. What's he going to give me? You may not even show up because it can't be that much. But he's saying it's not our resources. He's saying you're tapping into my resources, and it's infinite. We walk away so many times. We walk through life and we feel like we're beat down and we feel like that we're missing something. We need more. And God says it's there. It's available. Oh, it's up to you. All you got to do is just let your roots run deep and tap into me and experience all that I have for you. And he says that according to the riches of his glory. By the way, that glory is a manifestation of his presence in our lives. It's those times that we get in his presence and his power is so real that it transforms us. There's been times in the altar that, and maybe you all have, and hopefully you've had these experiences, that the altar, just like the one I was telling you about before, that I've got in the presence of God, and it's been so overwhelming that it was like, I don't want to move. I don't want to quit this. This is life. This is, all of a sudden there's strength that comes up still in our soul. Why? Because God ministers to us. Why is that? Because we come to the well. We come to the strength. We come to the source. We come to Him and He fills us full. And it goes on to the end of that verse and says, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. That's what He wants to do, is strengthen your inner man. He wants you to be strong and filled with His Spirit so that you are able to be strong, so that you could help others. This whole section here is, and when I put up the slide, if you got to see it, the slide is a tree that's bountiful above, but you can see its roots, how deep they go down below. And their strength, you can tell this is a strong tree. And I was thinking about this analogy. You know, if you were hungry for fruit, I used to have a fruit tree, an apple tree in my backyard, and it was a wonderful thing because you could just walk out in the backyard and you could just, and it would have apples on it, and apples. In fact, there was so many apples that it would just cover the yard, and it got to be a big mess. And we put in some changes to our landscaping and put a pool back there, and we got rid of the apple tree. Sometimes I wish we'd have left the apple tree. But what a blessing. Let me tell you something. If you were looking for an apple, and you were looking from a distance, and you seen a tree, and you could tell the bark was dry, and there was no leaves, you wouldn't take another step toward that tree looking for fruit, because you'd know it's dead. Because the fact that tree isn't getting the nutrients it needs, it's not digging down deep, it can't produce the fruit. And it can't reproduce more trees. That's God's desire in your life, is to be a tree that taps into a source that the Spirit of God is welling up within you. He's talking about strengthening the inner man, that God's presence is so strong in your life that it nourishes you. And not only does it nourish you, but it strengthens you to where you produce fruit, so that others can see you. Others can see the power of God working through you, so that they can receive what they need just by your life overflowing on them. And then it produces life, because new seed drops and new trees spring forth. Isn't that the way God wants our lives to be? Well, the only way we can do that is let Him fill us with His Spirit in the inner man. And it comes from digging down deep, getting more than what everyone else is getting. There's one thing in the church, that's why tonight prayer to me is one of the most important things. It's the key to everything. See, if the enemy can keep you from praying, if he can keep you from seeking God, he wants you to be an enemy. He's okay with you coming to church. He's okay with you reading your Bible some. Just don't get too much. Don't let God have all of you. Don't be a fanatic. Oh, but he knows that if he can keep you from getting down deep, he's got you at his beck and call. He can do whatever he wants when the storm rages. He knows he can shake your world. He knows that he has you in control. But God says, no, I want you to dig down deep, because I want to strengthen that inner man so that I can have and do what I want to do. So God wants to give us strength. You know, I was thinking about we've got to help ourselves. We've got to get the strength we need before we can help others. Whatever that ministry God's got, if you got a Sunday school class, God's got to work in you or you can't help them. God's called you to preach. You better get something, or you're not going to help another person. If, even in your own home, how are you going to help your kids if they see that you haven't got what you need? And so we need to get the strength that we need ourselves, because there's people around you, even those ones at work that you don't even know is paying attention to you. They're looking at you. And so I was thinking about how many of you all have flown. Many of you have, and some of you may never want to fly, and you're missing a real blessing, because it gets you somewhere real quick. And I got to see places that I never would have seen before. I like flying. But if you go and you take a flight, you know that every single time they're going to go through this process that tells you, here's where the safety vest is and here's where the doors are. And one of the things they're going to say to you, which just blows my mind when I first heard it, but it makes sense to me now, is it says, parents, if there's a turbulence or something happens and the cabin depressurizes, there's going to be mass that's going to fall down above you, and it shows you where they're going to be, and they simulate it. And they says, now you need to take care of yourself first before you take care of others. And so your nature inside's like, well, I ain't going to do that. Why would I do that? I've got kids. See, they teach the same thing with EMS. My job is, you've got to take care of yourself first. And the mentality is this. If you are the one that's supposed to help others and you're taken out, then you have an impact on no one. But if you get what you need first, then you are able to help many others. The enemy wants you to be weak. He wants you to be anemic, because he doesn't want you to do that thing that God's called you to do. And so God says, no, that's not the way I've designed you. I want you to dig down and get the spiritual strength that you need on the inside, and then I can use you. And that's what he wants to do in her life. So don't be satisfied with so little. Don't be satisfied with so little. Dig deep. Let your roots run deep. So we see that, I got to get moving here. So we see that we dig deep, we tap into spiritual strength. You know what else? We tap into a spiritual source. I was reading of a man that visited an orange grove. He didn't say whether he was in California or Florida, but he was there taking a tour of this orange plantation. And the man that was giving the tour was letting them know, because they were concerned, because he would see all the orange trees and they seen that the trees were drying up and the fruit was starting to shrivel. Something was badly wrong. And he said, these trees are having some problems because the irrigation system here has malfunctioned. We're trying to get it fixed, but these trees are not getting the water that they really need. And so they were dying, and it was concerning. But at the end of the tour, he took them across the property line and says, I want to show you all something. Let me show you my trees. And he took them to his orange trees. And they couldn't hardly believe what they were seeing. They could see his trees, and they looked back and see the dying trees, and they looked at him. What's the difference? They're just close together. Why are these trees so full of life? The leaves are still beautiful. The fruit is luscious. And they're only a short distance apart. What's the difference? He says, the difference is when my trees were young, I didn't give them all this surface water that they are giving them over here so that the roots just get satisfied staying close to the surface, just getting a little field to make it another day. He says, but I let mine go without some water. I held back on the water. And he said, so my trees, when they were young, they learned to dig deeper and deeper and deeper until they tapped a source that these trees don't have. And so now that the drought has come, my trees are going to go weeks further and never be impacted because they've tapped into a source that they don't have. Isn't that what we need to do and realize that the only way we're going to make it in the time that we live in is tap into a source that gives us the strength to make it another day, that gives us a source of strength that we don't have any other way. We can't get it being shallow. We can't get it living just the way everyone else is. It's going to take a hunger for the things of God, and he makes it available to you. He says, I'm down here. I'm right here. I'm making it available to you. You just got to dig a little deeper, and you're going to hit pay dirt. You're going to get the nutrients and you're going to get the water that you need to strengthen yourselves. You know, that's clearly described in Psalm. The first Psalm starts out, first three verses, and it plainly paints a picture of this. The first two verses, the first verse says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth, of course in school we memorize this, right? Nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Here we go. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. What's he doing? He's digging deeper. And he goes on in verse 3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, and his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. What's the difference? Why was this man any different than anybody else? He dug down deep. He got a hold of a source that changed everything. Not only does he give us spiritual strength, and not only does he give us a spiritual source, but he gives us spiritual stability. That verse 17 goes on, not only says being rooted, it says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love. Hey, let me talk a little bit more about the roots. Some of you ladies love flowers. And of course, this isn't the time of year you get to do this stuff. But come just a few weeks down the road, when things start to change and spring starts to come around, Lowe's is going to get pretty busy, aren't they? I know my wife, every year, it just find them kills me. But it's an amazing thing to watch. She's got pots all over the place, all over the back of the yard. And she says, I've got to have all these plants, and it just kills me. But she buys all these potted plants, and then she gets them. Now, you all know what the results would be. If my wife brought them home, they're perfect. They're luscious. They're beautiful. By the way, I love flowers. I love the blooms. How many loves blooms? I got Bradford pears in my front yard. And I was telling the church today, I just get upset every year. Like, God, why don't you just leave the blooms on stuff? I love it when those blooms are out. It's beautiful. I wish it would stay that way all the time. But if my wife got those plants, now they're perfect when she gets them home. There's nothing wrong with them. They're growing. They're doing great. They're perfect. Now, if she just takes them outside, puts them in the sun, they're getting the sun they need, and she keeps pouring water in there, what's going to happen pretty quickly if she doesn't do anything different? Those roots are going to get bound up because they need to grow. They're not going to find enough soil. They're not going to have enough. And so the roots just make a ball. But what my wife will do when she buys them and she's getting ready to plant them, she makes me dig a hole. And we put good dirt in the hole. And then she pulls the plant out and she breaks the roots that are bound and frees them up and puts them in the ground. We put in good water, good soil. And you can just tell the flowers or the plants are just taking a deep breath. And what do? They grow. They're beautiful. But if they stay in the pot and they never get to go deep, there's been a few that we forgot about too long. And they withered and they died. They've got to have deep. They've got to have depth. But we see there, so that's talking about being rooted and grounded. That grounded is talking about a foundation. We need to realize that our foundation has got to go deep. You all that are building know that the higher the building is, the deeper the foundation's got to go. We can spend a whole lot of time before you ever see any progress come up. You've got to have a lot of progress going down. It looks like nothing's going on. It looks like you're wasting your time. You're spending a whole lot of money to put a bunch of holes in the ground and put concrete, or you're never going to see it again. But all you got to do is go over to the parable where Jesus talks about the two houses. The only difference, they look just alike. They're built perfectly the same from the top. They look the same. The only difference is one thing, just one thing, foundation. But boy, is the difference of the results when the storm came. And what was the difference? The foundation had something deep. And so it's talking about being grounded in love. The Lord gives us strength. And when we let our roots go deep, we get a hold of rocks. And we keep going. And we get deeper. And they spread out. And they keep going deeper. And so all of a sudden, when the storm rages, there's strength. Why? We're not shallow anymore. I was reading about the tree that has the deepest roots. It's actually in South Africa. Can't remember the name of the tree. But the roots were 400 feet deep. When the winds blow, you think it's afraid? Of course, it's a tree. It's not a person. But it can almost stand there and say, "You can't shake me." When the drought comes, is it troubled? Does it have to worry? Do we have to worry? Oh my goodness, it's dry outside, the tree is going to drop. No, because it says, you see what you can't see. What you can't see is where my foundation is and what I'm planted in. And I've tapped into a source so deep, this doesn't even impact me anymore. Oh yeah, I feel the storm. I see that it's going on, but I have strength because I've tapped into that source. And that's what he wants you to have in your soul. Not only that, when our roots run deep, we tap into spiritual strength, we have a spiritual source, and we find spiritual stability. Do you know what? We also have spiritual security. Now, I'm not talking about eternal security. I'm talking about spiritual security that we can put our full confidence and trust in Jesus Christ. It goes on in verse 18 and says, that we may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth. I got you awake. And the height. It's talking about God's presence and his love. It's saying, see if you can plumb the depths of my love and presence for you. See if you can ever extinguish and come to the end of what I want to do in your life. You know, I remember growing up, and I knew God was a holy God and so forth. And there was times as a young Christian that I'd give my heart to the Lord, and I would go on and I would do something wrong. And the enemy would say, "Well, God don't love you anymore. You've messed up. Just quit." And I put my head down. God, you can't love me anymore. Is that the truth? Because it says right here, if we only knew what the breadth of his love for you, if we only knew the length, the depth, the height, then we could have security knowing how much he loves us. It never changes. That word comprehend means lay hold of. It's taking possession of something. You can hear something. You can think you know something. But until you truly lay hold of it, you don't have it. Something that revealed this to me is how many of you on a clear night this last year, maybe you got out and it was dark and you may live out a little from town, away from the lights. And it's a clear night and you can look up and you can see the unlimited stars that's in the sky. And you think, wow, that's beautiful. And I kind of understand, God, how deep this is and how incredible it is and how awesome it is. Look at all that you've created. And we know in our mind that there's a huge number of stars. I can't remember what it's got up to now, but it's, you know, sextillions of stars. I don't know. It's a number that our mind can't even wrap around. And I thought I understood it until I went to the Creation Museum. If you haven't got, for some of you young students, I know you've got to go to a planetarium. But if you all have never got to do this, I think it'll amaze you. You go to the Creation Museum a few years ago. And when you go in there, they have a planetarium where you can go in and you sit back in a nice, comfortable reclining chair and you lean back and all of a sudden the entire ceiling becomes a huge theater screen. And they pull up a picture and you can see the night sky just like we see it. In fact, it's got more stars than we can see ourselves. Beautiful. Oh, look at the countless beauty that God's done. There's the moon. There's the stars. There's the wonderful things that God's created. It says, now let us move you forward. And they keep taking you farther out in space. And they take you, we're going 1,000 light years into space, traveling at the speed of light, 186,000 miles per second for 1,000 years. And this is what it looks like. And we finally keep going. And here is the sun. And you're looking back and everything keeps getting smaller and smaller. And you keep going back and all of a sudden your mind is like, oh my goodness, I never dreamed it was this big. And then you back up and it says, here is our Milky Way. Wow, look at that. Massive, thousands, millions, billions of things. And then it backs up even further and says, now here's all the other galaxies. And yours is just one in a sea of other galaxies. And then it keeps backing up. You can't finally walk out of there and you realize, I never had a clue how amazing, how unbelievable the creation that God has. And this verse here is saying the same thing. If you could only fathom, if you could only get your mind, you can't comprehend, you can't lay hold of it because it's undescribable. It's unattainable. There is no measure of how much God loves you and what he wants to do. The resources that God has for you is limitless. He wants to pour out his spirit and it's up to you. You see, God is a gentleman and he won't make you do anything. He'll give you all the resources. Before you took your first breath, he made available to you all that you could ever imagine. He has plans for you. He has incredible power made available to you. His presence is unbelievable that he has waiting on you and me. And the question is, only those that say, I need more, and they just keep digging deeper. Only those are the ones that's going to experience all that he has for them. You know, it's the same thing in a marriage. Anybody, how many in here is married? Okay. How many will also say that sometimes it's tough in marriage? Sometimes you're going to have a, have you ever said anything that made your wife or husband mad? Every once in a while, Maynard's perfect. Greg. It's perfect. I'll be the only one to say I've messed up a bunch of times. Do you know the only thing that makes you make it through the storm is that in that relationship, when your love runs so deep, that your love for the other person is so deep that even when the storm comes, says, yeah, you make me mad, but it'll never shake the foundation that we've built upon. Because I love you, and that runs deeper and deeper than any other relationship I have. That's what gives strength and stability. But when we protect ourselves, we're looking out just for us. That's when things crumble. Let's go on. So we see that there is when we let our roots run deep, He gives us spiritual strength. We tap into a spiritual source. We have spiritual stability. We have spiritual security. You know what else He wants to do? He wants to give you spiritual saturation. He wants you to overflow. Every single person in here, God never designed you to be lean in your soul. He wants you to overflow with His presence. Can I say something else? It's kind of a bold statement, but I do believe it. Every single person in here tonight has all of God that they want. Let me repeat that. Every single one of us, including me, has all of God that they want. He doesn't hold back. Do you know why? We want to do it our way. And we have our life and we say, God, here's this much. Here you go. Fill it up. God said, I want more. You know what He wants us to do? Here you go. You take it all. That's the person that digs down and says, God, you're more important than anything else. And God says, that's the person I'm going to flow through. That's the person who's going to have victory. That's the person who, when the storm rages, there's going to be strength in her soul. That's the person that's going to feel my presence every single day because they gave me all there was of them. He wants to give us spiritual saturation. Verse 19, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with the fullness of God. He wants you to overflow. He doesn't want you just to be half full. He don't want you to be three-quarters full. He wants you to be overflowing. That's His design. That's His desire for you. The question is, where are you tonight? Where is your level of spiritual saturation? This fullness is talking about a full measure, a completeness. He wants you to overflow. You know, Psalms 23:5, David tells us in the Psalm 23 about overflow. And it's in the most peculiar place that he experiences the overflow of the presence of God. You know where he finds it? In verse 5. It says in verse 5, Thou, God, preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. There was people that was ready to snuff him out. His enemies had laid plans to siege him and was going to take his life. And just in case you may think, well, poor David, if you're serving God tonight, you have an enemy that his design and plan is to take you out. He's planning on discouraging you until you give up. There are seats that's empty here tonight that he was successful doing it. And so we see here that the enemy was coming to destroy David. But God had different plans because his source was in God. And it says in the rest of that verse is wondrous, but he says, even though he's come to destroy me, thou anointest my head with oil and my cup runneth over. Hallelujah. Right when the enemy has your demise in his crosshairs, God says, no way, because he's tapped into me or she's tapped into me. And right when you think you're going to destroy them, I'm going to pour my power through them. I'm going to give great victory in their life. Why? Because they've dug down deeper. And they've got a hold of me. So we need our roots to run deep. So we see here, and I promise, this is going to take a couple minutes, but this is the last one. And we see here that when we let our roots run deep, we tap into spiritual strength, a spiritual source, spiritual stability, spiritual security, and we overflow with spiritual saturation. We also see this verse that I love so much, that there's a spiritual surplus with your name on it. It says here, now unto him that is able. Now before I read the rest of that, that word able there means can. There is potential waiting, ready to be able. I see God sitting at attention. I see God, when a need's coming to him, sitting there and saying, I'm ready. I can. We see Scripture says many places, I am. I am. But do you know, He also is I can. The ability, the potential is here. I can do whatever you're needed. I don't even have to know it. We could go through here and every one of us could give 5 or 10 things. Oh, I need God to do this. I need God. Let me tell you something. I don't even have to hear Him. I can tell you right now, He can. And you know what else He'll do? He will. If we'll just trust Him. Because this verse is trying to get our attention to realize we ask way too little. Way too little. Because it says here, and every verse is for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction, and righteousness. Every one of them is for us to receive from. And so we need to realize this verse is here for a purpose. It's not just for 2,000, 3,000 years ago. It's for you tonight. And it says, now unto Him. Oh, why can we get excited? Why can we come with just confidence? How can we just realize that even in the middle of the trouble that we don't have to be tore up because we come to Him that is able, can do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or even can think. Most of the time we come to God and we've gotten so used to not seeing God do things. And let me tell you something, that's why prayer is so important. We get used to seeing God not do things, and so we start making excuses for God. Well, this cancer's too big for God. Or this problem's too big for God. God doesn't raise the dead anymore. God doesn't. Let me tell you something. It was exciting. I know it wasn't planned here, but there was. I remember reading a testimony or hearing a testimony about some of the ones over in one of the other countries teaching the school of Christ. And they've been teaching these new little Christians, these new little preachers, about the power of God and that He answers prayer and He does all these things. And they were way down the line and they was almost ready to graduate. They'd been there for weeks and they would teach a little bit and pray a lot and teach some more and pray. And man, they were stirred up and ready to go. And they come toward the end of this class, and on the way there one morning, one of the young men, I think on a bicycle, was on his way there. And somebody can clarify and tell me where I messed this all up. But I remember hearing about he got killed. He got ran over on the way there. Killed him. You know what? They didn't give up. You and I we'd weep and we'd cry and we'd say, oh, how horrible that is. And thank God he was ready to go and all that stuff. But they said, bring him to the church. Bring him to where we've been training. And it was a long period of time before they could ever get him there. They brought his body in. And they said, you've been teaching us that God's a healer. Is He still a healer? Yes, He is. Well, we're going to believe for that. They started laying their hands on this brother. He's dead. Been dead for hours. Praying for him. They didn't give up. They called out on God. They kept calling out on God. Do you know what He did? He raised up. Why? Why? What makes the difference? Because they realized that we serve a God who can and who will. So we see here that God is able. What is it that you're going through that you think God can't do that? It's too big. We make excuses. God, oh, let me just, let me make it easy on you. I've read a testimony of a guy that was praying for some people in his church, and this guy came up to him and he said, brother, said, I've got so many physical needs, and he started going through all these different things. He says, but listen, my neck hurts me so bad I can't hardly live. Could you pray for me that God, if He would just take care of my neck, I think I could live with the rest of it. This preacher looked at him and just shook his head and said, you know, I see what you're saying. You're probably right. You're probably right. Because if we was to pray for God to meet every one of your needs at one time, it would probably dim the lights of heaven. He probably couldn't handle that. The man's head dropped. He realized the stupidity of what he had said. He said, okay, I see you're right. Okay, God, you take care of everything. He trusted Him for everything. We need to realize that God is a God who can. It says that He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power, that Spirit that lives within you. That same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead can transform you. So we see, I've got to tell you the example we see here. I'm sorry, I know I'm going too long, but let me tell you something. You know, somebody that amazes me in Scripture, and it amazed Christ too, was that Roman centurion. He comes to Jesus. He hears He's a healer. Now, he's got a guy, one of his servants, that's really sick. He's dying. He wants to see. He loves this guy. He's served him for a long time. And he wants the Lord to meet his need. So he comes to him and says, Lord, would you heal my servant? Jesus says, I'll come. I'll come to your house. Whoa, wait a minute. I'm not worthy that you come to my house. See, I know how this works. I've not been in any of your seminars. I've not heard you preach hardly at all, maybe never. But you see, I'm a Roman centurion. I'm over 100 men. I understand authority and the way it works. You see, if I say to a man, come, he comes. If I say to another, you go, he goes. And Lord, I know you're a man just like that. Lord, if you just say the words, he's going to be healed. Whew. Jesus steps back. Why? In all of Israel. You've grasped a thought. You've grasped the truth that no one else, all these religious people haven't even got a glimpse of what you've got. You know what happened? That servant was healed from that moment forward. Why? Because he realized God can. He just has to say the words. He has the ability to do anything. And so we see that God is able. He's abundant. There is no limit to his resources. You can't measure it. And then finally, he's available. He's available. He's available tonight. But he's only available. You only have a change if we come to him honestly and say, I need more. I need more. God, don't let me to be so shallow. But God, let me have a desire to dig down deep. So that tomorrow, whatever I face, my source is you. He wants to help. He wants to overflow you. But it's up to you. It's up to me tonight. Somebody come to the piano, Brother Kirk. If you all would stand tonight, appreciate you so much for listening. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, I thank you, mighty God, for your mighty presence. I thank you, Lord, that God, you make available to us. Lord, you're exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. And Lord, you have laid before us, God, a fountain that we can't even tap. Lord, without, Lord, overflow. And God, it's abounding tonight for any soul that wants to get a hold of you, that's willing to come and say, God, here I am. I want more of you. I need more of you. God, let my heart dig down, Lord, till I hit that source that is Jesus Christ. Give me that stability that he's talking about. Give me the strength, God, to be able to make it. God, I need your strength. Almighty God, saturate me. Let me tap into your surplus, God. Lord, let me do it. Lord, let me not be the same anymore. Tonight, this altar is open.